Good morning. Merry Christmas to everyone. Welcome. Let us stand and go before the Lord in prayer. And if you see someone coming in late, just ensure that they have a place to find a seat and direct them to come in and be able to worship God with us. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. In the name of Jesus, we thank you that you came that first Christmas to be born in a manger, so that you can announce to the shepherds, announce to us, announce to the whole world, joy to the world, that you have come, Lord Jesus, to bring us salvation, to forgive us of our sins, to rectify every situation, to bless us. And this day, may we sense your Holy Spirit to be with us, that we will know that we have been in the house of God Almighty. And we give you glory and praise and honor in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
His name a hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, it is great to be here again, Lord, to be able to praise the most powerful and mighty name in all of existence, Lord God. And today we have come to exalt you, to declare that you are an amazing Lord, an amazing Savior. And we recognize today, Lord God, that everything that we need today is found in you. So God, we have come to praise you, to honor your name. We know, Lord God, that as we exalt you and we lift you up, that your word makes it very clear that you will draw each and every one of us in closer to your side. And that's where we want to be today, Lord God. We want to be in position to receive all the blessings, all the ministry, all the encouragement and healing that you have for your people today. So we just praise you and we honor you for your presence and your power here today. And we pray and ask all these things in the greatest name that we've ever known, the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's give him another hand clap of praise today. Amen. 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 So good to have you today in the house of the Lord. We want to ask you to continue to remain standing with us, if you would, for another moment. But as you do that, if you would, take a moment and reach out and greet those nearby. God bless you this morning.
Let's continue to worship this morning.
Christmas, everyone, and good morning to you again. You may be seated this morning as we look to the Word of God together. Before we do, I want to remind you of our schedule for this evening. We'll be celebrating our annual Christmas Eve service together at 5 o'clock this evening. That's a change from previous years because we're on a Sunday, the Lord's Day. We'll be celebrating at 5 o'clock this evening. That'll be our traditional 30-minute Christmas Eve service. And if you're able to join us, we would love to see you again this evening to celebrate Christmas Eve together. This morning we go to the most familiar verse in all of the Bible, John 3:16. And what is, I believe, the premier Christmas text of all time? Hear the word of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Would you say amen? As we think about Christmas, we always think about a season and a spirit of giving. After all, we're accustomed to exchanging Christmas gifts with one another, shopping. I spent about 8 years of my early life in the retail business. I know that people shop at Christmas time, looking for just the right bargain, just the right Christmas gift. Just the right thing that will please the recipient. Have you ever given a Christmas gift and when the recipient opened that gift, you knew you had hit a home run? Is there anybody here who's had the opposite experience? I'll never forget when I was about 12 years old, my dad conspired with us children regarding a Christmas gift for our mother. She wanted, and I know maybe these aren't the kinds of gifts that people want these days, but in those days, very few people had microwave ovens. Now, how many of you would testify with me this morning that a microwave oven changes everything? It certainly has in my life. And my mother wanted one of those brand new microwave ovens. In those days, they were about the size of a washing machine. Gigantic. And she made it known that that was her heart's desire for Christmas. And so my dad, who always wanted to please my mom in everything, but also had a little bit of an Andre sense of humor, hid the microwave oven he had bought. And let me tell you, he bought the biggest microwave oven in Jefferson City in those days, but also bought as a trick gift a set of Corningware dishes. Now, I know that Corningware has become sort of a collector's item over the years maybe, but in those days, Corningware was nothing to holler about, let me tell you. And I'll never forget that Christmas morning because our habit, our custom on Christmas was always to get up at 6 o'clock on Christmas morning and open the gifts on Christmas morning. I'll never forget that morning down in our family room. We were all gathered together. Mom was going to open her gift and it was very obvious there was no microwave oven to be seen because of the size of the packages. And I'll never forget her opening. Does anyone do this? You give the small gifts first, and the big giant gift is the last to be opened. The last to be opened that morning for my sweet mom was a big box about this big, filled with a set of Corningware dishes. I'll never forget my mom, who was the sweetest thing on earth, opening that box of Corningware dishes. And when she opened that box of Corningware dishes, the smile on her face was so fake that it filled the room. It was one of these. Let's see if I can mimic it properly. It was one of these. It was so difficult that we almost wished we had not played the joke on her. And then Dad went out to the garage and got the big microwave oven, brought it in, and my mom cooked in that microwave oven for the next 20 years. Yeah. But isn't it a joy when you give a gift that someone opens and you know you've hit a home run? Well, let me tell you, the best home run of the ages was the gift given by God our Heavenly Father. When he gave the greatest gift of all, the gift of his Son. God is the giver. And he is, I would say, the giver in chief. Wouldn't you agree with me this morning? We read today from John chapter 3, verse 16, about the giving nature of God and about the particular gift that God has given to us as his children. And not to us only, but to the whole wide world, who would just simply in faith receive that gift and open that gift to their great delight and enjoyment. I want us to think for a few moments this morning about God the giver and the gift he has given to us. But let's take a moment to read that verse of scripture one more time. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That scripture reminds us of four important principles in the giving of the gift of Jesus at Christmas time. First of all, it reminds us of a loving God in heaven. God so loved the world. Note with me this morning the object of God's love. God so loved the world. That means every human being, and obviously the scripture here is talking about all of the people in the world. When the scripture says God so loved the world, it means that God loved people on every continent in the world. He loved people of every color. He loved people of every size. Hallelujah. That God loved people of every background. That God loved the rich and the poor, the small and the mighty. When the scripture says God so loved the world, it reminds us that God looked out and saw us even in our fallen estate, even in our sinful nature, even in our brokenness, when others may not have seen in us anything worth loving, but God, our Creator and our Heavenly Father, loved us so much that he wanted to give. So we note the object of his love, and secondly, we note the overflow of God's love. God so loved the world. Everybody say that word, so. You know when you insert the word so into any sentence, it magnifies the meaning. When we say thank you so much, it raises our thanksgiving to another level, doesn't it? When we say, I love you so much, it raises the whole context of the conversation. That word so is so powerful. And I'm grateful that the translators into English included that word so into this message, because the reality is God loved the world so much that he had to move into action. In his own heart, in his own spirit, in his own thinking, God Almighty had to move into action. And as a result, he gave us a lavish gift. The scripture says God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. When we think about God the giver, we could think of every imaginable blessing with which he has blessed us. How many in the house today would say that God has blessed you with many blessings? Say amen. Amen. He has blessed, he is the creator and the God of the universe. He has blessed us with the food on our table. Amen. He has blessed us with the clothes we wear. He has blessed us with the homes we live in. He has blessed us beyond that by providing us family and friends whom we love and whom we fellowship with, who are near and dear to us. He has provided us many good and perfect gifts. But the greatest gift that God has ever given to the world is the gift of his son. The gift was a son, his only begotten son. Now we know from Bible theology that Jesus, the Son of God, lived in all of eternity with God the Father throughout all of eternity past. Jesus would declare that he was in the beginning from the beginning. The Gospel of John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and nothing was made without the work and the participation of Jesus Christ, the Son. God's Son, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, eternal in the heaven, eternal in the universe, in all of eternity past. Jesus was with the Father, but the Father loved the world so much that he was willing to give the gift of his only begotten Son. The gift was a son, and a son was born. That's why we're here this morning at a special time. That's why we've chosen to meet at 10 o'clock this morning instead of our regular service schedule and a service on a Sunday evening, because we're celebrating the birth of the Son of God into this world, Jesus Christ, the Savior. We're celebrating the fact that God so loved the world that he gave Jesus, and Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. He grew up as a little child in Israel, in the northern part of Israel. He became a man. He performed many miracles and taught great truths about God. The Son of God born into this world at Christmas time. And we're celebrating that gift. Everybody say, thank you, Father, for giving Jesus. The gift was a son, and the gift was a sacrifice. Not only was it a sacrifice in the heart of the Father to give his son for our salvation, but the word sacrifice would take on clearer and clearer meaning as the life of Jesus would be lived. And Jesus would declare, as he was teaching the multitudes, I have come to give my life as a ransom for many. He would say in the Gospel of John, I have the power to lay my life down, and I'm going to lay my life down for you. And we would find as Jesus lives on that he begins to reveal that he has come not just to live in human flesh and to show off the power of God, but that he has come in the flesh as Emmanuel, God with us, so that he might die on an old rugged cross, paying the price for our sins and our forgiveness, so that we might be released from the power of sin and brought into the family of God. Hallelujah. The Son became a sacrifice. He became a sin offering for our sins. The good news of Christmas and the good news of salvation today is that God loved you so very much that he wants you to live in his family forever. But I'm getting ahead of myself, so let's stick to the outline. This loving God gave a lavish gift, and we find that it became for us and becomes for us a lasting gift. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life. That gift from the Father, the gift of Jesus, becomes for us something that lasts forever. Anybody here have kids in the house and you give them a toy on Christmas and they play with the toy for 3 minutes and the toy goes to the side? Do you know what that's like? Many times it's because you forgot to buy batteries. At other times it's because toys aren't what they used to be and they broke after 3 minutes. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's just they've lost interest. They play with the gift for a few moments or maybe even for a few days and they lose interest and the gift goes into the closet. Some years ago, I'm thinking of Pastor Ryan and Jenna there and their kids here. I saw Peyton in here a little bit ago. I don't know where she is, but some years ago, I bought Peyton a little camera for Christmas, but I failed to realize that every camera needs extra film. And how many of you know when you don't have enough film in a toy camera, it was one of those newly renovated Polaroid cameras. How many of you know if you don't have enough film, the Polaroid camera lasts about 6 hours and that's it? Many gifts expire or lose their meaning, lose their significance. We lose our interest in them. But the gift God came to give is a gift that lasts forever. He has given us the gift of a powerful forgiveness through Jesus Christ. The work that he accomplished on the cross and in his resurrection is a powerful work that brings us the forgiveness of sins, the release from all of our guilt, the wiping away, the washing away of shame, the canceling of our sin debt, so that the Old Testament scriptures could be fulfilled from Psalm 103. He removes our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. Somebody say hallelujah. Or the words of the prophet Micah, he throws all of our sins into the depths of the sea. Those promises about the power of God's forgiveness can only come to full realization through the powerful work of Jesus Christ, who died, listen, not just to forgive your sins, but to erase your sins and to declare you justified and free in the sight of God. He can forgive you. He can deliver you. He can heal you. He can set your life on a brand new direction. He is the God who can change your life forever. Hallelujah. And his gift of forgiveness is powerful. And beyond that, there's a permanent future because of the gift of Jesus. Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. It's not yet the Easter season. That'll be coming in a few months. But the reality is this Jesus Christ who died on the cross for us, rose from the dead. He defeated death, hell, and the grave so that you and I might walk through this life with a peace that passes understanding, knowing that even when the days of this life come to an end, God has prepared for us a future, an everlasting life that will go on forever. And 10 trillion years from today, dear friends, we're going to be celebrating the gift of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, in heaven. As children of God, we have been blessed with the greatest gift of all the ages, the gift of Jesus. And that's why our closing point is that we have a lot of gratitude in our hearts today. And we pick up the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9:15. To close out this message, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Aren't you glad this morning for what Jesus has done in your life? The good news of the gospel and the good news of John 3:16 is that whosoever will trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior can be saved and receive the benefits of the salvation that God so loved the world that he gave to us. Amen and amen.